sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along a trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final home. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home. The things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall they're borrowed for a while. And things of earth that cause my heart to tremble, remembered there, will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day mine eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home. This weary world with all its toil and struggle,
I wish you'd stand together.
May take its toil of misery and strife. The soul of man is like a waiting falcon. When it's released, it's destined for the sky. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home. But until then, my heart will go on singing.
Rejoice a moment with that song, would you?
Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day mine eyes behold that city.
Hallelujah, church.
Until the day God calls me on.
Until that day, welcome to Open Bible Dialogue. This is going to be a good program. I believe it. Now, we're going to study today about an undeniable awakening of the Holy Ghost. An undeniable, notice that word undeniable, an undeniable awakening of the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of things called revival. There's a lot of events called awakenings. There's a lot of words that describe all kinds of religious activities. But I want to talk about the depthful experience of an awakening like has happened at numerous times through church history. I can tell you of event after event. I've always loved studying the great awakenings. They would turn thousands to Jesus Christ. They would change the whole direction of a nation. They would change the whole structure of the political bodies. I mean, they would just turn everything on its head and turn it upside down and turn it right. I mean, great awakenings. great awakenings. I've read where even police stations would call for the minister to come because there were so many people there wanting somebody to help them get rid of their sins and get right with God. And I'm going to do something today that I know the Holy Spirit has given me. I wouldn't dare say that if I didn't know that. On my face early this morning, he gave me 7 proofs of a divine awakening, a Holy Ghost awakening, an undeniable. You know, you have revival events, and a few weeks after they're over, you can hardly find a semblance of people that were affected in that revival. I remember revivals where supposedly 30 got saved, and there'd be 1 or 2 maybe left around the church when the revival was over. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about proof, divine proof, holy proof, Bible proof, that we've really had a divine awakening. I'm here to tell you, if we don't have an awakening, the church is on its deathbed. The church in America is on its deathbed. And so much of what's called religion is not anything similar to the Holy Bible. And let's say the book of Acts. If you really want to look at a revival, look at the book of Acts. Look at chapter 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, 6 and 7, 8, all through that great book. And you'll see an awakening of the Holy Ghost. They said of Paul the Apostle and his leaders that worked with him, they have turned the world upside down, and they've come hither also. They've come hither also. Turn the world upside down. We aren't even keeping it close to being right side up, much less turning it upside. I remember when I was saved, they used to say to preachers, if you don't have a revival, make sure you have a riot. If you don't have a revival, you need to have a riot. I mean, that meant they tore the community apart with gospel preaching and the Bible, the holy book, and a great move of the Spirit of Almighty God. Now, 7 divine proofs of a divine, undeniable awakening by the Holy Ghost. I hope you'll call a dozen friends yourself. I hope you'll click on that button, share, and share this with just a multitude of people. I know some of you are just listening. You're not burdened for your city. You're not burdened for your church. You're not burdened for your family. I'm calling on you to get burdened. I'm doing it with a passion in my heart. I'm not doing it to be mean. I'm not doing it to be strong. I'm not doing it for any reason except I love the church of Jesus Christ, and I want a divine awakening. I want something that will bring men and women back to God. I'm 83, and I would like to spend my last chapter having more people saved than has been saved in all my 67 years of being a child of God. I want a revival. I want a revival. I am passionate for a revival. I hope you understand that. And I'm going to give all I've got for it. Now, I want to read you the Bible before I go to those 7 things. And I'm sure I will get them all in. I may not do justice to all of them, but I certainly will talk about them. And we'll get in the Bible. Let's go to the book of St. John. Jesus was nearing his crucifixion and then, of course, his resurrection. And Jesus was warning his disciples of the necessity of his death. They couldn't stand. They were just torn out of their frames because of the understanding of his coming death. But Jesus warned them of how necessary this death was. And I'm going to read it to you. Nevertheless, this is John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Nevertheless, I, Jesus Christ, tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, that's the Holy Ghost, will not come. If I don't leave here, he ain't coming back. If I don't leave here, he ain't coming back. I tell you, if I don't go away, he will not come. But if I go away, I will send the Comforter. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Turn it where I can see it. Here the light reflects on him. And when he is come, now listen, and when he is come, when he is come, when the Holy Spirit is come, when the Holy Ghost shows up, he will reprove the world of sin. Now notice that's going to be my first point, and you need to hear that. He will reprove, and that word reprove means convince. It doesn't just mean a little conviction. It doesn't just mean a little discomfort. It means an attitude convincing the person to hate sin. The result of the conviction of the Holy Spirit is to make the person convicted hate sin. Not just sin as a matter, but sin as their own conduct. Sin is their own need. Sin is their own problem. It will make you hate sin when the Holy Spirit visits in an undeniable awakening. Now, you hear those two words. I hope they get used 1,000 times over the next week in every church around, an undeniable awakening, one that you can't deny. One that you can't explain away. One that will be as real a year from now as it is while it's going on. One that will last indelibly and transform people by the thousands and multitudes sometimes. And maybe that's what we need. A transforming, undeniable Holy Ghost awakening. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. Now, he doesn't stop there. He will reprove the world of righteousness. I mean, he'll put a passion in you for righteousness. He'll put a hatred in you for sin and a passion for righteousness. That's what the Holy Ghost comes for. If he hasn't done that, he hasn't showed up. All you had was a hoopla. All you had was noise. All you had was somebody shouting. Hey, come on, church, listen to me. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and notice and of judgment. He'll make the world know this thing's about to end. This thing is boiling down to its final point. Things have got to change, folks. The church world has got to change. We've got to break through. He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment of sin because they believe not on me. Oh, boy, is that not the case of the world right now? Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more? Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I mean, when Holy Ghost revival comes, there's a judgment that falls on the devil right in the communities, right in the atmosphere of homes, right in the businesses, right in the political arena. I mean, it doesn't matter where it is. When Holy Ghost awakening truly comes, it stirs up people to judgment everywhere you find people. Three things there: sin, righteousness, and judgment is made manifest when a Holy Ghost awakening appears on the scene. Now, that's what I'm praying for. That's what I'm staying in that sanctuary every morning for an hour to 3 hours, weeping and sobbing about. God help me. I want him to help me sob until my cheeks are nothing but rivers of tears. And I want it to affect everybody around me. And I want it to affect you. And I want us to have a Holy Ghost awakening. And I'm claiming that for this city, Charlotte. I'm planning this week to take my Bible to the city hall and get over there on a bench somewhere inside that room and not pray out loud and be disturbing and be, I'm not going to be a problem. I'm just going to go there and claim the move of the Holy Ghost in that place. I'm going to claim the move of the Holy Ghost in that place. He doesn't need our noise when the Holy Ghost moves. He makes his own noise. And I'm not talking about loud whooping and hollering. I'm talking about conviction. I'm talking about tears on cheeks and burdens on hearts and breaking of evil wickedness in people's lives. Oh, friend, listen to me. Listen to me. It's beautiful to think of what God can do when we pray and stay on our faces until he shows up. I mean, till the Holy Ghost shows up in the majesty of his presence. I have yet many things to say unto you, he says, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall show you, for you shall not speak of him. He, the Holy Spirit, shall not speak of himself, but he shall speak of me. Whosoever he shall hear, Thou must understand. Thou must understand. Whatsoever the Holy Ghost hears, he declares to us. And that's the kind of Holy Ghost we want to show up in Charlotte, North Carolina. And we want it to spread to Washington, D.C. We want it to spread to California. Oh, great. God grant that it will spread to California and all over this nation in the political arenas. Make known your power and send your divine anointing. Now, that's in the book of St. John, chapter 16, and we'll go to Acts, and we'll go to some other passages. 2 Corinthians is a great passage I want to get to, and there's just some wonderful things to show you what a sovereign awakening, a undeniable awakening, what it means and what it does. Now, Let's deal with the 7 points that I want you to take home with you. I want the preachers out there to get them and preach them. I want to get these in the hearts of everybody that will take a moment and just plain listen to me. Listen, number one, a convincing of sin that goes beyond the pale. A conviction of sin that breaks through the human spirit and the human psyche. A conviction of sin that penetrates the human mind and makes this sin deplorable to the person. See, sin can be made so deplorable to you that all you can think of is asking God to forgive you of it. That's the kind of conviction I'm talking about. Conviction that makes sin so repulsive to the person. To the individual, to the politician, to the policeman, to anybody that comes under this divine influence, they will begin to hate sin. And they will think of sin as something so horrible, all they can consider is, how can I get rid of it? How can I get this conviction off my back? How can I clean up my inner being so that I don't feel this darkness? You know, sin is a darkness. And when you really begin to feel the darkness of sin and the shackle of sin, it's miserable, it's horrible. And I'm crying out that God will show us a conviction of sin. That's the first thing that happens in an undeniable awakening of the Holy Ghost, is sin becomes deplorable. Sin becomes ugly. Sin becomes repulsive. Sin becomes hateful. Sin becomes something, you know, you got a man that he steps around on his wife and goes and gets him a harlot every once in a while, finds him a prostitute, whatever, and he fornicates behind his wife's back and come home and acts like he's as pure as he can be and wanting her to be his sweetheart. You know, those kind of men, if they get under conviction, they are so miserable. They hate everything that's happening in them. Their faces turn bitter and dark. They can't sleep at night. It tears them out of their frame when they come under conviction. Real Holy Ghost, undeniable Holy Ghost visitation. And it happens all over communities. It happens, you know, you pass by the street where God's moving and you feel drawn and you feel like you're scared to go and scared not to go, you know, because you got to get right with God. You got to get rid of this burden that's on your back. I'm talking about the first evidence of a Holy Ghost awakening. And you can call what you have in your church a revival till you turn blue in the face. You can call it whatever you want to call it. But if sin has not become deplorable to the congregation, if the preacher is not proclaiming the darkness of sin and the terribleness of sin, if the preacher is scared to name sins like fornication and sodomy and abortion and all the dark sins, he isn't in no revival. He probably isn't even saved. I mean, when you get right with God and full of the Holy Ghost, you hate sin, and you're not afraid to say to anybody you meet, sir, you can't go to heaven with those sins you got on your back. I do it wherever I go, on the street, in stores. I tell people, you got to get rid of sin. They look at me and say, how old are you, man? I said, I'm 83. How you live this long? I said, because I don't fornicate, and I don't commit adultery, and I don't sodomize, and I don't drink liquor, and I don't smoke cigarettes. And I tell them what the Lord has cleansed me from, because I want them to know that sin is deplorable. I mean, it's horrible. God hates sin. When the Son of God was hanging on the cross, God had to turn his back because he couldn't look at his Son dying with your sins on his heart and shoulder. Now, don't forget that one. The first thing that happens in a true awakening of the Holy Spirit is the hatred of sin. The convincing, not just conviction now. I want you to get this. In the Greek dictionary of the word that Jesus, the Holy Ghost used right there in John 16, the very word they use means convince. Convince. It's a divine thing. And it reaches inside the bosom of a man or woman and convinces them that their sins are deplorable. If you don't think your sins are deplorable, then you probably have never been saved. And if you have saved, you probably have backslid. See, sin is deplorable to a spirit-filled saint of God. If you don't hate sin, there's something deeply wrong with you. See, as far as God is concerned and the spiritual life is concerned. So the first proof, absolute proof, of a Holy Ghost awakening, an undeniable one, is the hatred of sin. You really learn to hate sin. I hope I'm not making anybody too awfully mad until you won't listen anymore, because I'm concerned about your soul. Now, number two, you got to hear this one too. This is very imperative. You got to hear this. The number two thing that happens in the time of a Holy Ghost awakening is the Bible comes alive. People begin to love the Word of God. They begin to search the Bible like it's dependent on their very eternity, and it is. And they begin to dig into that Bible, and it begins to shake them. And they read scriptures, and they weep and sob over different scriptures that apply to their life. The promises begin to just flood their minds, and they begin to get excited and full of a hallelujah, because the Bible has become so real to them. The Bible becomes real in an awakening. An undeniable awakening, the Bible becomes real. Do you hear me? The Bible becomes real. It becomes marvelously real. Did you know that God says He has magnified His book, His Bible, above His name? Why did you put love in the Bible ahead of love in God? Because the Bible puts love in the Bible ahead of love in God. That's why I did it. And I did it on purpose. And I did it because the Bible instructed me and the Holy Spirit led me. Number two is you fall in love with that Bible. In an awakening, you will quit television and go to the Bible. In an awakening, you'll turn off the internet and you'll go to the Bible. In an awakening, you'll shut off that Facebook that you spent hours with. And you just soak yourself with every... Listen... When you get under Holy Ghost conviction, the Bible will be one of the most important things in your life. And you will love it. And you will dig into it. And it will become mighty in your life. Is that powerful? Is that clear? Do you understand? It's biblical. He's elevated. He's exalted His word above His name. That's what He says. That's what He says. And I like what He says. How about you? See, so the Bible becomes a mighty book. And then number three, and this is imperative, you fall in love with the triune God. Oh, you hate sin. You hate sin. You love the Bible. And now you're falling in love with the triune God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. This doctrine of Jesus only arose out of confusion and darkness and destruction of true Holy Ghost revival. When you get full of this power and this undeniable move of God, you'll fall in love with the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And you will love your Father. The Bible says, love Him with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. That happens in a Holy Ghost awakening. You begin to love God with all you got. You begin to magnify the Lord Jesus and elevate Him and love Him and praise Him and adore Him. And He becomes so real to you. And then the Holy Ghost fills you. And you begin to love on the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit become mightily important in your life. That's what happens in an undeniable Holy Ghost awakening. The sin becomes miserable, horrible. You turn from it with a vengeance. You hate it. You don't want it. You repent of it, and you run from it, and then you run to the Bible, and then you run to loving God and loving the Son and loving the Holy Spirit. You know, the more I pray, the more I love God, and the more I want to love Him, the more I want to be in His presence, the more I want to just soak Him up in me until I'm just so full of Him that I'm overwhelmed with it. Are you hearing me? Loving God the Father, God the Son, God the sweet Holy Ghost. And number four now. Is imperatively important. It really is. You develop immediately now. Now, let's go back. Let's come through the three. Remember, sin becomes a hateful, ugly thing when you're under true conviction and a true move of the Holy Ghost. And then the Bible becomes so important to you that you just dive into it and you soak it up and you love it. And then you go to loving the Father, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you fall in love with that. And then you begin to feel the passion of a lost world. Souls are going to hell. Your loved ones are about to drop into the flame, the lake of fire. the friends you meet on the street, the friends you know at work, that you've come to enjoy just knowing they're your working companions, and suddenly you're weeping for their soul. And you try to tell them about Jesus, and tears course their way down your cheeks, and some of them reject you and say, leave me alone. But you go to praying, and before you know it, they come looking for you. Hey, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. Pray for me. Pray for me. I realize I'm lost. I realize I'm going to hell. You see, the church world today is absolutely full of unconverted men and women that don't hear enough of the Bible to even cause them to shudder. And they're being lost because the conviction of the Holy Ghost is not in the church. When the Holy Ghost penetrates and moves through the church members will fall on their faces. They'll begin to weep and sob. They'll begin to fill the altar. The altar will become stained with tears. You remember when the altar in your church was stained with tears? Some of your churches don't even have altars no more because there's no moving of the Holy Ghost, so you don't need an altar. But when the Holy Ghost moves, you'll go get that altar up in the attic or in a hallway somewhere, or maybe go have one built. But you'll get an altar back in your church, I guarantee you that. And you'll be weeping for sinners. You'll be weeping for sinners, trying to bring them to God, trying to bring them to the cross. You will have a passion weeping and sobbing over lost and dying men. It will flood your sweet heart. Oh, there's nothing like weeping for sinners. There's nothing like weeping for sinners. I hope you hear me today, because I bring you from my heart what I'm bringing you, and I love you with all of my heart. Now, number five, after you're going to want to win souls. I'm telling you, you're going to get concerned about your neighbors. You're going to get concerned about the working friends. You're going to get concerned about the people you meet in the grocery store. You're going to start loving your children that live in another city, and they're lost, and you're going to start weeping for them, and then you're going to start telling them about Jesus. I mean, all kinds of things are going to start happening in a genuine, undeniable Holy Ghost awakening. An undeniable Holy Ghost awakening. It just turns everything on its head. It turns everything upside down. We got to have it. We got to have it. We're going to have it. We're going to have it. I'm telling you, I'm believing it before camp meeting. But boy, I'm believing it in camp meeting also. That starts June the 24th, less than a month now. But I'm telling you, it is time to get right with God. It is time to get right with God. It is time to pray for a revival. So number five, excitement about the rapture. Oh, this is beautiful. You see, when you get tired of sin, when you learn to hate sin, when you learn to love the Bible, and you learn to love the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and you begin to weep for the lost, and you're just burdened for the lost, then you get excited. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. All of this we're doing, we're not wasting time. We're getting ready for Jesus to come. We're getting ready for that rapture. It's about to happen. And so you get all excited about the coming of the Lord. All this argument today against the pre-trib rapture, it's nothing but an evidence of a dead church, a church that's backslid, moved away from God, not living in the Bible, not living in a state of rejection and resistance to sin. And so the rapture becomes an unnecessary inconvenience to their lifestyle, an unnecessary inconvenience, get that, to their lifestyle. And so they want nothing to do with it. You get a Holy Ghost revival moving, and I guarantee you, your preacher will be in the pulpit screaming out about the coming of the Lord, the rapture, and the glorious appearing of the great God Jehovah. Are you hearing me? I mean, I'm bringing you truth the best I know how, with a passion of an old man of God that's been on his knees. I've never felt such Holy Ghost anointed to pray. I don't feel it every day, and I'm so upset when I don't feel it. I want to pray until I sob and sob for you and you and you and you. And listen to me, sir. You're trying to walk off and not listen? Stop and listen to me. When the Holy Ghost begins to move, you'll hate sin. You'll love the Bible. You'll love Jesus Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit. And you will love lost souls. And you will want to win the lost to Christ. I'm amazed. When people really get saved, they are so burdened for the lost, they can hardly stand it. Oh, what a passion. Excitement for the rapture. Oh, that's number five. The absolute proof of the revival of the awakening of the Holy Ghost. The absolute proof of the awakening of the Holy Ghost is you fall in love with that Bible. And then you begin to pray. A real person in a Holy Ghost awakening sets themselves to pray. They begin to pray with all their heart. They begin to hide away alone with God. That's what revival brings. You know, I remember when I was saved in 1952, I was 16, and I was just a skid's country boy, so full of sin. And the men, the lay men, not the pastor now, the lay men of that church would go to the woods on Sunday afternoon after Sunday lunch, and they would go to the woods to pray. And they'd get out there among the trees, kneeling at stumps and beside logs, and they took me with them. Little old Joe, 130 pounds back then. I mean, just a country kid. And they took me to the woods with them to pray. And I will never forget praying in those woods. It got a hold of me, and I've been praying with devotion of that style ever since. I get people so upset at me when I push them to pray. If you don't pray and get alone with God, you aren't worth a hoot. I mean, that's just all there is to it. It's got to be old-fashioned praying, and I'm calling you to it. I'm not going to quit. I mean, you may be praying for me to die and get off of this tube and off of the radio. I don't know what you're praying for, but don't think that the devil won't help you, but angels will stop you unless he's ready for me to go. I'm not worried about it. So praying will become a lifestyle. You'll love praying. You'll love praying. Now, I want to give you one more thing, and I want to make sure you hear this one. When you really have a Holy Ghost revival, you know what happens? The people fall in love with their church. You just can't help but love the house of God when you really get in Holy Ghost revival. The house of God becomes something so important. I have terrible time getting people to come to church on time. You have a Holy Ghost revival, you'll be early. You have a Holy Ghost revival, you'll be early. I promise you. It'll get a hold of you, and the only way you'll be late is when work or something you cannot alter is happening in your life. Now, I want to, I'm 30 minutes in, a little over, and I want to open this up for phones. I got so much to say, and you know, listening to me, that I'm going to have plenty to say. But I want to help you with questions you have about a sovereign, undeniable awakening of Holy Ghost revival. Do you understand? An undeniable awakening of Holy Ghost revival. A kind of awakening that cannot be stopped by the police. It cannot be stopped by the politicians. It cannot be stopped by church officials. It cannot be stopped by Holy Ghost haters. It cannot be stopped by nothing. The devil don't have enough power to stop a Holy Ghost revival if the people involved will stay humble. Don't you take no credit. You hide yourself when credit time comes. You make sure it's God who gets every bit of the credit, because a sovereign Holy Ghost revival will point upward and never downward. It'll point to the Heavenly Father and not around to your friends and the religious leaders. It's God, only God, who can give a sovereign awakening. It's God, only God, who can give a sovereign awakening. There is no other way for a sovereign awakening but God. Do you understand me? But God, got to be God. Now, I want you to call 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. Here's the phone where you can write it down for a moment, 704-391-0588. I want some calls. I want you to call and say, ask me any question you want to ask. If I'm over the board, tell me what you think. Let me try to help you. I won't argue with you, but I'll just be your friend. And if you never agree with me, I'll never be your enemy over it. I promise you. So grab your phone, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Now, could I tell you that the Bible, and you heard me say this over the last couple of weeks, the Bible tells us to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. You remember that verse in Jude chapter verse 3? Only one chapter, but Jude verse 3, the last book before Revelation. Go turn to it if you like. It says, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. That's exactly what I'm doing. I am contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I'm believing God to shake Charlotte, North Carolina, until every fiber of our being is stirred and moved and awakened. Until the liberals are upset to no end about what's happening in their churches and how their young people are getting saved and their children are getting full of the Holy Ghost and godly men are having dreams and young men are seeing visions. I'm telling you, friend, God is coming to give us a revival. You say, Brother Chambers, I don't believe there's going to be one. Well, I'm going to leave that with you and God to argue about, and I'm just going to read you what the Bible says. Is that okay? Is that okay? I'm telling you what the Bible said, because that's what's upon all my servants. Let me read it. Let me go back. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. This is the last days, by the friend. And that means the last of the last. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall dream dreams, and your old men shall see visions. And on my handmaids will I pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Friend, I want to tell you something. Holy Ghost revival is coming. As sure as my name is Joseph Chambers, Holy Ghost revival is coming, and I can hardly wait. I am so excited. I am so excited I hardly know how to stand myself. You on the air. May I help you, please? Hello there. Are you there? Well, I don't know what's causing that bumping, but I've got it on and nobody is coming in. Let's see again. Here we go. Here we go. Are you there? Open. The line's open to you. Well, I don't know. Oh, I know what's wrong. I need to mash one more button. Now, are you? Okay. I don't know what that popping is. Are you there now? Well, I don't remember that happening. I need to call again. I guess I lost them in the process. Call again, and I think I got it now. It was my fault. I had buttons I hadn't mashed, and I have to do that. I'm sorry. I want to talk to you. I really do. I want a Holy Ghost awakening in Charlotte. I want a Holy Ghost awakening up and down these streets. I want something that's magnificent, something that's breathtaking, and I'm waiting for that caller to call back. I want to talk to you. I believe maybe on another line, you on the line. May I help you, please? Are you there? Well, my phone don't usually do this, and I don't know what it's doing, but sometimes it happens. And All right. Now stop it. You know, it's amazing to me. Sometimes when you're at the very best point is when somebody gives you a hard time, or something of equipment gives you a hard time. Number two, let's see if I can get you on the line. You are on the line. May I help you, please?
How are you? Can you hear me?
Well, I'm having trouble with that crazy noise. Now, I don't know where it's coming from.
Okay.
Let me try now. Go ahead.
Okay. Is there anything where in the Bible where Christians are supposed to fast and pray? And what's the purpose of fasting and praying?
What's the purpose of fasting and praying? The Bible says this kind, now talk about the faith that brings a great move of God. This kind cometh not but by fasting and prayer. Fasting is a way that you humble yourself before God and present God your helplessness. Present God your inability to make it happen and declare before God in fasting and prayer, I'm depending on you, God. I'm depending wholly on you. If we have a Holy Ghost revival, it will be you, God, that does it. And that's what you're doing when you fast and pray.
Oh, I see. So the early church.
Oh, the early church fasted and prayed. Yes, sir. Absolutely. The early church. And Jesus said, you won't need to do it until I'm gone. Until I'm been crucified and resurrected, you don't need to fast because I'm with you. But when I'm gone, you are to fast and pray. See, we're told that by the Lord.
Right.
So if God tells you to do something, you do it.
Right, exactly.
God bless you. I'm glad you called.
Okay, thank you.
Now set yourself this week to fast today, okay? Or two meals or whatever, one meal. We're having a fasting here at our church, continually the camp meeting the week of, it goes through the first day of July. And we're taking a meal or two meals or three meals, and we just letting, we got somebody fasting every meal if possible. I think we have one or two meals yet uncovered, but we may have somebody covering them without telling us, which we have some of that, and that's okay. We want everybody fasting, and you, everybody listening to me, needs to set a time every week that you set aside. Don't just do without your food. Get on your knees and spend that time in prayer. Realize that it's not the doing without food that helps you. It's the fasting and praying together that helps you.
Right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for calling, sir. God bless you. God bless you. All right, give us another call. Whoever is on the lines here, we'll be glad to help you. And you can call and get this article. You can call and get this article. God wants to reveal himself is the name of the article. It's all about this service and this program. And we want you to hear from God. We really do. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Hello, Joseph.
Hello, Joseph.
I'm from West Virginia, and my name is Sherry, and I have been trying so hard to get through to you.
You just got through to me.
God bless. God bless the Lord that he has connected us, because Satan's trying everything he can to keep my radio from getting to you. That's the static that you hear. I want you to know that all of my children, I've got three sons that never come and see me. And at Christmas, I was hungry. And I got on Facebook and I said, Lord, find one Christian to bring me a plate of food, please. And the lady on Facebook prayed about it. And the Lord told her husband to bring me some food. And they took my grandchild away because he was being bullied.
Listen, I'm going to stop because I don't want to criticize your family, but I want to help you. So after the program, you call call on Monday here, same number, and I'll sit down and talk with you a minute and help you with your family, okay? We all have family members away from God, and when they get away from God, it's hard to move them, and sometimes it just wears us, you know, hurts our heart, and I'm going to pray for you and yours, okay, sweetie? I promise that with all of my heart, no doubt about it. If someone else would like to call, we want to hear from you. You are important to us. We're here to help you. We're here to get you fasting and praying with us. And I'm going to go to the scripture. I'm going to skip some because I want to go to a very special place that really you can hear, I think, and get the message of. In 2 Corinthians, this is 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You got to get in this divine scripture and get it in your heart. Let me find it right here. Sorry about that. Chapter 10, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. Now, I want you to hear this. We're talking about a sovereign revival and what happens when there's a sovereign revival. Well, here's a picture of the kind of praying that comes out of a sovereign revival. Now, before I read, remind you again, there's someone in the office taking calls. I don't know why I had that difficulty, but got past it, and I want you to call if you have a question, and we'll do our best to help you, and we will do our best to answer. Now, listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war. Notice that word war after the flesh. See, praying is warfare. Praying is warfare. And I said a while ago, when there's a Holy Ghost awakening, one of the very important things that possesses the saints, that was number 6 in my list of things, is they begin to pray. And they begin to cry out to God. They begin to realize that here we are, we're having a sovereign revival. Here are sinners still all around us, and many of them are not being moved yet. And so we begin to pray. We begin to pull down strongholds. You see, strongholds is what keeps your children away from your grandmother. Strongholds is what causes your children to live away from God and not want Christ in their life. Strongholds is what makes any sinner or any backslider completely out of kilter and out of commitment with God. Well, let me tell you that though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, the weapons of our warfare. This is how we pray for revival like we're talking about. And they're talking about fasting and praying. Very important. Because in fasting and praying, you get before God and you actually get involved in warfare. You are praying for God to pull down those evil spirits and break their evil power and allow your Holy Spirit to bleed through and bring a sense of conviction and a call of God to human hearts. That's the purpose of praying. And praying is a warfare. See, the demons of hell are all everywhere. They go about seeking whom they may destroy. They are everywhere. They're after your children, your grandchildren. They're after my children, my grandchildren. They're after your neighbors. And in warfare, you pray, and God uses your prayers. And by the Holy Spirit, he pulls down those strongholds. Let me tell you something now. You better hear this. This is important. The Holy Spirit can do nothing without you. The Holy Spirit don't float around doing all kinds of things. He does it through the influence of us who are full of the Holy Ghost. You get a Holy Ghost filled church, a filled church, and it begins to just mushroom and things begin to happen. People quit fussing and fighting and arguing with one another. They quit griping and everything's all wrong. I mean, when you get full of the Holy Ghost, you'll be full of love, brother. You'll be full of love. Love for the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the church. The people, I mean, everything about God, you'll fall in love with it. And so the warfare, praying, is what comes out of a great Holy Ghost revival. You have a great Holy Ghost awakening, and people begin to pray. They begin to seek God. And as they begin to pray and seek God, the devils begin to back off and move out of homes of their children and their grandchildren. And those strongholds begin to come down. Listen, let me read on. Notice this. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. Listen to that. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Now, notice it's through God. It's not you. It's not what you are. It's not what you can do. Through God to the obedience of Christ. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I read that wrong. To the pulling down of strongholds. Let's take a picture here. Listen to me. Here's a home. It's the home of your son. Your son. And he's on alcohol and he's on drugs and he's fornicating and he's full of sin. And the devil has taken over his home. His family is a mess. His children are going the wrong way. Him and his wife are at one another's throats. I mean, it's just a terrible thing. And so you begin to pray and you get on your face with God. You begin to name your sweet son and your sweet daughter-in-law and all your sweet grandchildren. I know they aren't really sweet right now, but in your heart, they need to be sweet. You love them. You still love them. And you begin to pray. And those demons in that home begin to back up. And as you pray and you reach up into that home by faith. Now, you at your home, they at their home, but you're reaching all across the geography into their home by faith and pulling down the stronghold, and it begins to back up. And things begin to change. It may take a month. It may take 6 months. It may take a year. It may take 5 years. But eventually, if you keep fasting and praying for your family, for your children, for those in your home, you will pull down those strongholds. Remember when Daniel prayed 21 days? And when the answer came, the angel said, I was on my way the day you started praying. But the devil, he named the spirits, stood against me. And God had to send another angel to help that angel that was already trying to help me to get through and to bring me the answer. And so that's how our prayer life is. Our prayer life is under the scrutiny of heaven, and evil spirits are trying to stop us. I mean, I've been praying now over a year in the morning, every morning, unless just a handful of mornings in emergencies, and I've been crying out. And I'm telling you, the devil has done everything in his power against me, but he's failing. He can't win. There's just no way. The only way the devil can win is get me off my knees. And the only way the devil can win against you is get you off your knees. Now, I'm not talking about just on your knees. I'm talking about old-fashioned praying, crying out to God. I want a sovereign awakening, and that's what a great, undeniable revival, Holy Ghost awakening will bring. It will bring things like I'm talking right here. There's very little of this kind of praying going on in America. Very little. That's why most children are just on their way to hell, and they'll wind up in hell, and you'll be responsible because you didn't take a stand. You didn't learn how to pray. You didn't get on your face and stay there. Church members all over the church world, you've got to learn to pray. Jesus said, I didn't say it, my house shall be called a house of prayer. My house shall be called a house of prayer. You obey that or you disobey that at your own peril, okay? You disobey that at your own peril. You got to hear me when I say these things because I'm just telling you what the Bible says. That's all I'm doing. But let me go on. Cast it. Notice this now. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. The pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You actually pull down strongholds, cast down imaginations, bring every thought. Here are sinners lost, and all they think is evil. All of a sudden, their minds become invaded with thoughts that are coming out of your prayer life, out of your prayer burden, out of the moving of the Holy Ghost from you to them. Maybe a neighbor, maybe a working friend, maybe whoever. And you're praying, and God is moving because you're praying, and he's pulling down a stronghold. Get that on your mind now. Get that in your prayer life. And learn to get on your knees. Don't get there for 2 minutes and 6 minutes. That's what most people pray a little bit, thinking, man, I'm doing good. I'm praying 5 minutes a day. You're doing nothing but wasting your time, really. Well, I wouldn't want to say that. Maybe 5 minutes will help, but not much. But you get on your knees, and you get there, and you pray till you sob. You pray till the Holy. You know, the Holy Ghost can pray through you to heaven. He can pray through you in your language. But he can also pray through you in the heavens language. And either way, you're bypassing the devil, and he cannot stop you. He can scream and yell and holler, but you just keep on praying and keep on crying out to God. Keep on seeking his face. Now, I want that scripture to really get a hold of you. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, I mean, where is these kind of revivals in our churches? Where are they? They long ago passed. Long ago. I am so starving for revival of this consequence, and I know I'm going to see it. You understand? I know I'm going to see it because I'm not going to bend, bow, or burn. I'm not going to back up. I'm going forward. If God wants me to die on the altars without having a revival, then it can come as soon as I'm gone. But it's got to come because we got to have a Holy Ghost awakening. I mean, I'm not on the world net for just my own comfort. I'm here because I'm after people in Pakistan. I had a man recently from Pakistan said, I'm preaching your sermons all over Pakistan. I love that. We hear from countries all over this world, and we're proud of it. We're grateful for it, but we want it every bit to bring honor to Jesus and to the kingdom and to God's work and God's love and God's divine business. I mean, it's really important. Now, I'm going to take you back to 2 Corinthians 5, and then I'm going to recap everything we've talked about today. I'm going to recap it, and I'm hoping you'll never forget it. How can you know when you're having a Holy Ghost awakening? How can you know when you're having an undeniable Holy Ghost awakening? Not just a revival, not just a few people getting saved, not just a few things happening, but I mean a sovereign awakening. I love every little bit. One sinner saved is a miracle to me. One sinner saved is wonderful. You keep getting those ones saved. Keep getting those twos saved. But you keep praying and crying out to God for a larger inflow of sinners lost who need God. But let me take you to 2 Corinthians 5. I want to tell you something that you need to hear. This is very, very important. To wit, that God was in Christ. This is chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. God was in Christ dying to reconcile the world unto himself. That's the Bible. That's the gospel message. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us, you and me, the word of reconciliation. Did you know the world will die and go to hell if we don't tell them the truth? Did you know that the world will die and go to hell if we don't tell them the truth? The world needs you and I bearing testimony to this wonderful gospel. The world needs you and I telling the story of saving power and saving grace. Now, you've got to hear that, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world, but then he hath committed that reconciliation to us. A sinner cannot get saved if he doesn't hear the truth. A sinner cannot get saved if he doesn't come under conviction or hear the truth. Cannot be saved. You are responsible, and if we don't do our job, the world will go to hell. People are dying right now and going to hell because the church is in such a dead, deathful situation. I mean, it's sad. It's sad. But we are allowing the world, many people, to be lost eternally because we're not what we ought to be. We've got to turn things around. We've got to turn things around. Are you listening to me? We've got to turn things around. Will you help me? Will you help this old man? I mean, will you, let's begin to pray together. How about going to your church every morning? You say, I go to work at 5. We'll go to church at 4. I can't do that. I can't get enough sleep. We'll go to bed early instead of so late. People sit and watch television, play games on computers, play with their Facebook, and do all kinds of things. And then if somebody asks them to go to church and pray early in the morning, they look at them like they're crazy. Because they don't have time. Well, they don't have time because they use their time for something else. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm not fussing at nobody. I'm not pointing to anybody I know. I am not dealing with people I know. I'm dealing with the whole world. I want us to have a Holy Ghost awakening. Is that fair enough? I want us to have a Holy Ghost awakening. So we are the messengers. We are the messengers. Now then, we are witnesses. Listen to that. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God through us did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. I love you. Oh, this has been a good one. I've loved pouring myself out to you. I hope you've loved me pouring myself out to you. I hope nobody's angry because I ain't throwing nothing at nobody. I'm just telling you what God's given me. Seven proofs of a genuine awakening by the Holy Ghost. Seven proofs of what will happen in Charlotte or any community or any city, any town, any village, anywhere in the world. The same thing will happen everywhere. Absolutely, biblically, it will happen. Number one, when Holy Ghost revival moves, sinners will learn to hate sin. There will be a convincing of sin that makes it horrible and hateful and ugly and make you want to be rid of it. It really will. That's when you get real repentance, brother. When you get a sinner who is so sick of his sins, he cannot stand them any longer. And he's running. How many times in history have sinners ran down church altars, not even make it to the altar sometime, fall on their face squalling and weeping and sobbing. I mean, I've seen puddles of tears so big on the altar until you wonder how they came out of one person's eyes. But they were sick of sin. They were under great conviction. That's the need of the church. That is the desperate need of the church. And you know that. I can't oversay this. And churches don't care about sin anymore. Preachers will get in the pulpit and laugh at sin. I heard one some time ago laughing at the ugly language he and his elders use when they're out playing golf. He says, God don't pay no attention to us saying little ugly words because we made a wrong putt or whatever he called it. What's wrong with a man that will do something like that? He's in pitiful condition. I wouldn't be in his shoes for gold shoes. I couldn't stand it. No way. So number one, they hate sin. Number two, they love the Bible. You fall in love with that Bible, it becomes a book of such magnitude and such beauty. You fall in love with it. It becomes a wonderful book when you really get under Holy Ghost conviction. I'm crying out to you now. I'm crying out the love of the Bible. That's number two. Absolute proof that you're having a Holy Ghost awakening. Number three, the love of the triune God. You fall in love with the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost when you're in a Holy Ghost awakening. You fall in love with Him. I mean, you begin to love God with all your heart and soul. You can just stand in His presence and sob and weep. God, I love you. Lord Jesus, I love you. Sweet Holy Spirit, I love you. That's number three. Number four, a passion for the lost. You really develop a passion for lost souls. Think about it. Think about somebody you love and you're watching them and they're dropping off into hell. And the fire is so hot that it would seem to consume them. But it can't consume them because they've got these eternal bodies, death bodies, these eternal death bodies that will not burn up. They only turn to red hot, you know, and you spend eternity in that flame. Can you imagine? Can you imagine spending eternity in the flame of eternal hell? Why in the world can you allow that to happen and not cry out to God for your family members? I'm telling you. Now remember, first men hate sin. They just get past being able to care one lick about some old sinful act. They don't want nothing to do with it. They hate sin. They love the Bible. They love the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. They get a passion for sinners. They don't want to go to hell, and they don't want nobody to go to hell. When you really get good and on fire for God, you won't want to go to hell, and you won't want nobody else to go to hell. I'm telling you, this is what happens when you really get yourself where you ought to be with God. It really is. Now, anybody else that would like to call, I've got time for one more. I wish I'd had more. I know that, I don't know what that was that hadn't happened recently, but we'll find out about that. But let's don't worry about it. Let's just get this message in everybody's heart. If you haven't already sent this, send it now. Send it quickly. You can send it over the next days. Let's get it in as many hands as we can. Number five is excitement of the rapture. Boy, when you get on fire for God, you get excited about the coming of the Lord. You just want to see Him. You don't want to just hear Him. And you don't want to just love Him in a distance. You want to see Him personally. And that's what the rapture is. We'll see the Lord. He'll come in the clouds. We'll rise to meet Him in the air. If you're not excited about that, it's a good sign you need to get a deeper experience with God. I'm telling you, it's real. And then you'll begin to be a prayer warrior. Praying like I told you about in 2 Corinthians 10 and 3. Read that when you will. 2 Corinthians 10 and 3, 4, 5, 6. Those verses will wake you up to the power of prayer, the mighty power of prayer. It is the mightiest power human hands will ever touch. And that's the power of prayer. It really is the mighty power of prayer. And I want you to become a prayer warrior. I really do. I want you to become a prayer warrior. Now, I got a minute and 15 seconds, and I'm caring about you. I want to pray with you. How many of you will reach your hand toward me? And let's have a short prayer. Your Father, in the name of Him who died on the tree, in the name of Jesus, I pray the spirit of revival will soak my audience from one end ever to the other. Let the mighty move of the Holy Ghost move across the airways, across the internet, across the world. Let it move, Lord. Let it move. Make known yourself mightily, Father. I claim a glorious breaking like heaven can give, like God wants to give. The majesty of the risen Lord and the risen Savior. I love you, friend. I love you. I love you. Somebody on the line here. Let me take a minute. Are you
dial,
there?
Press the scroll key or the first key.
Yes, hello.
Then press the Easy Dex key to place the call.
All right, they're gone. God bless you, friends. This has been a joy. Are you getting ready for Holy Ghost revival? I'm preaching in the morning. In the morning. Now hear me. I'm preaching in the morning a sermon that I'm most excited about. The inseparable love of God. The inseparable. It's in. The inseparable love of God. No way God, you can be separated from God's love. I love you with all my heart. I love you with all my life. You are wonderful, and the love of God is precious beyond measure. Precious beyond measure. Are you listening? Hallelujah. Make sure this thing is going here, and it is. God bless you. I love you in Jesus' name. Well, why isn't that playing? Hallelujah.
One just for you, the Father is working even now. Your prayers have been heard.
in the making for you today.
I believe it.
Oh, there's a miracle in the making.
Hallelujah.
One just for you. The Father is working even now. Raise your hand and sing it with us one more time.
In the making
for you today.
In
the making.
Oh God, miracles.
One just for you.
Miracles.
The Father is working.
In the making
for you.